You're listening to the Holy Bible One Year Challenge with Master Storyteller Michael Wood, featuring the easy-to-read version and used by permission from Bible League International. Enjoy the show!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to day 138.
In this episode, we are beginning the book of 1 Samuel, and I will give a more detailed introduction later in the episode. And we are also continuing in the book of John. Once again, we see the Pharisees arguing with Jesus as they doubt his authority. And then the Jews take it to the next level, where they pick up rocks and they throw them at Jesus with intent to kill. At which point Jesus asks them, which good deed are they trying to kill him for? Stay with us to see how the Jews answer that question.
If you enjoy the show, visit me at patreon.com/storymaster. You'll find the link in the description box below. By contributing as little as $1 per month, you will enable me to continue this ministry, and you'll get cool rewards too. Together, we're going to get through the Bible in 1 year. Let's get started.
1 Samuel, an introduction. Samuel was a prophet. He was the first prophet to appoint the kings that God chose for Israel. He also began a school of prophets to prepare other prophets to serve God. Later prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah continued the prophetic ministry. Samuel also served as one of the great heroes of ancient Israel who were called judges. He spoke God's messages to the people, appointed Israel's first kings, and led God's people into battle. The books known as 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel tell the story of the beginning of the kingdom of Israel. The story begins before the prophet Samuel's birth and continues after his death. 1 Samuel tells about the lives of three important people: Samuel, Saul, and David. Their stories overlap and continue into the book of 2 Samuel. Samuel's story is told in 1 Samuel 1 through 25. These chapters tell about Samuel's parents and his dramatic birth. They tell about the time he spent learning from the priest Eli and how he became a brave prophet. The story about Saul, Israel's first king, begins in 1 Samuel chapter 9. It continues into 2 Samuel. The Lord told Samuel to appoint Saul as king. The Lord said that Saul would rescue the Israelites from their enemies, the Philistines. At first, Saul was exactly the kind of king the Israelites needed. He was a trustworthy leader who bravely fought for Israel. But the time came when he began to go his own way and refused to obey God. And because Saul refused to do what God wanted, God rejected him. David's story begins in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and continues through the end of 2 Samuel. When God saw that Saul would no longer obey him, he prepared someone to take his place. He sent Samuel to prepare the one who would be Israel's future king. When Samuel found him, he was not yet ready to be king. He was a shepherd boy named David. David is remembered for many other things as well. He played the harp for King Saul and wrote many psalms. He killed a giant warrior who was threatening Israel, and he won other battles for King Saul. But David's great success made Saul jealous. Saul began to see David as an enemy. He made every effort to kill him, but when Saul was wounded in battle, he killed himself. His death opened the way for David to take the throne. David is remembered as Israel's greatest king. He is mentioned often in the New Testament as the ancestor of Jesus, who was also called the Son of David and God's chosen king. In the book of 1 Samuel, the prophet Samuel, in chapters 1 through chapter 7, is born and lives with Eli the priest and Eli's evil sons. In chapters 8 through chapters 15, Samuel appoints Saul as the first king of Israel, but Saul sins.
And in chapter 16 to chapter 31, Samuel appoints David as future king, who also becomes a great warrior. So the whole saga begins with a man named Elkanah. Let us begin. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Elkanah's family worships at Shiloh. There was a man named Elkanah from the Zuf family who lived in Ramah in the hill country of Ephraim. Elkanah was the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf from the tribe of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives. One wife was named Hannah, and the other wife was named Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Every year, Elkanah left his town of Ramah and went up to Shiloh, where he worshipped and offered sacrifices to the Lord, all-powerful. Shiloh was where Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, served as priests of the Lord. Whenever Elkanah offered his sacrifices, he always gave one share of the food to his wife Peninnah, and a share of the food to each of Peninnah's children. Elkanah always gave a large share of the food to Hannah. He did this because he loved her very much, even though the Lord had not let Hannah have any children. Peninnah upsets Hannah. Peninnah always tried to upset Hannah and make her feel bad about the Lord not letting her have children. This happened every year when their family went to the Lord's house at Shiloh. Peninnah would upset Hannah so much that she began to cry and would not eat anything. One year when this happened, her husband Elkanah said to her,
"Hannah, why are you crying? Why won't you eat? Why are you so sad? You have me. Am I not more important to you than 10 sons?
Hannah's prayer. After they had all finished eating and drinking, Hannah quietly got up and went to pray to the Lord. Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair near the door of the Lord's temple. Hannah was so sad that she cried the whole time she was praying to the Lord. She prayed to God and made a promise with an oath. She said,
"Lord, all-powerful, you can see how miserable I am. Think about me, your servant. Don't forget me. If you will give me a son, I will give him to you. He will be yours all his life. And as a Nazarite, he will not drink wine or anything that could make him drunk. And no one will ever cut his hair."
Hannah prayed to the Lord for a long time. Eli was watching her mouth while she was praying. Hannah was praying in her heart. Her lips were moving, but since she did not say the words out loud, Eli thought she was drunk. He said to her,
"You have had too much to drink. It is time to put away the wine."
Hannah answered,
"Sir, I have not drunk any wine or beer. I am deeply troubled, and I was telling the Lord about all my problems. Don't think I'm a bad woman. I've been praying so long because I have so many troubles and am very sad."
Eli answered,
"Go in peace. May the God of Israel give you what you asked for,"
Hannah said.
"Thank you, sir. I hope you are pleased with me."
Then she left and ate something. She was not sad anymore. Elkanah's family got up early the next morning and worshiped the Lord. Then they went back home to Ramah, Samuel's birth. Elkanah had sex with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered Hannah's prayer. By the same time the following year, Hannah had become pregnant and had a son. She named him Samuel, she said.
"His name is Samuel because I asked the Lord for him."
Elkanah went to Shiloh to offer the sacrifice for that year and the gift he had promised to the Lord. He took his family with him, but Hannah did not go. She told Elkanah,
"When the boy is old enough to eat solid food, I will take him to Shiloh. Then I will give him to the Lord. He will become a Nazarite. He will stay there at Shiloh."
Hannah's husband Elkanah said to her,
"Do what you think is best. May stay at home until the boy is old enough to eat solid food. May the Lord do what you have said."
So Hannah stayed at home to nurse her son until he was old enough to eat solid food. Hannah takes Samuel to Eli at Shiloh. When the boy was old enough to eat solid food, Hannah took him to the Lord's house at Shiloh. She also took a bull that was 3 years old, 10 kilograms of flour, and some wine. They went into the presence of the Lord. Elkanah killed the bull as a sacrifice to the Lord, as he usually did. Then Hannah gave the boy to Eli. She said to him,
"Pardon me, sir. I am the same woman who stood near you praying to the Lord. I promise that I am telling the truth. I prayed for this child, and the Lord answered my prayer. He gave me this child, and now I give this child to the Lord. He will serve the Lord all his life."
Then Hannah left the boy there and worshiped the Lord. Hannah prayed,
"My heart is happy because of the Lord. He makes me feel very strong. I laugh at my enemies. I am very happy in my victory. There is no God that is holy like the Lord. You are the only one. There is no rock like our God. Don't continue boasting. Don't speak proud words, because the Lord is a God who knows everything. He leads and judges people. The bows of strong soldiers break, and weak people become strong. People who had plenty of food in the past must now work to get food. But those who were hungry in the past now grow fat on food. The woman who was not able to have children now has 7 children. But the woman who had many children is sad because her children are gone. The Lord causes people to die, and he causes them to live. He sends people down to the grave, and he can raise them up to live again. The Lord makes some poor, and he makes others rich. He humbles some people, and he honors others. He raises the poor from the dust, and he takes away their sadness. He makes them important and seats them with princes and at the places for honored guests. The Lord made the whole world, and the whole world belongs to him. He protects his holy people. He keeps them from stumbling. But evil people will be destroyed. They will fall in the darkness. Their power won't help them win. The Lord destroys his enemies. He will thunder in heaven against them. The Lord will judge even the lands that are far away. He will give power to his king and make his chosen king strong."
Elkanah and his family went home to Ramah, but the boy stayed in Shiloh and served the Lord under Eli the priest. Eli's evil sons. Eli's sons were evil men who did not care about the Lord. They did not care about how priests were supposed to treat people. Whenever someone brings a sacrifice, priests are supposed to put the meat in a pot of boiling water. Then their servant is supposed to get the 3-pronged fork and use it to get some meat out of the pot or kettle. The priest is supposed to take whatever his servant removes from the pot with a special fork. This is what the priests should have done for the Israelites who came to offer sacrifices at Shiloh. That is not what the sons of Eli did. Even before the fat was burned on the altar, their servant would go to the people who had come to offer sacrifices and say,
"Give the priest some meat to roast. The priest won't accept boiled meat from you."
Those offering the sacrifice might say,
"Burn the fat first, and then you can take whatever you want."
The servant would answer,
"No, give me the meat now. If you don't give it to me, I'll take it from you."
In this way, Hophni and Phinehas showed that they did not respect the offerings made to the Lord. This was a terrible sin against the Lord. But Samuel served the Lord. Even as a boy, he wore the linen ephod like a priest. Every year, Samuel's mother made a small robe for him. She took the robe to Samuel when she went up to Shiloh with her husband for the yearly sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife. He would say,
"May the Lord give you more children through Hannah to take the place of the boy she prayed for and gave to the Lord."
Elkanah and Hannah went home. The Lord was kind to Hannah, and she had 3 sons and 2 daughters. The boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord at Shiloh. Eli fails to control his evil sons. Eli was now very old, and he learned about all the bad things his sons were doing to the Israelites. He had heard that his sons were having sex with the women who served at the entrance to the meeting tent. Eli said to his sons,
"Everyone is telling me about the evil things you have done. Why are you doing these things? My sons, you must stop. Everything I hear about you from the Lord's people is bad.
If you sin against other people, God might protect you. But who can help you if you sin against the Lord?
Eli's sons refused to listen to him. This is what the Lord wanted because he had already decided to kill them. During this time, the boy Samuel kept growing. He was pleasing to the Lord and to the people. John chapter 10, verses 22 to 42. The Jewish leaders against Jesus. It was winter. The time came for the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. Jesus was in the temple area at Solomon's porch. The Jewish leaders gathered around him. They said,
"How long will you make us wonder about you? If you are the Messiah, then tell us clearly."
Jesus answered, "I have told you already, but you did not believe. I do miracles by my Father's authority. These miracles show who I am. But you still refuse to believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give my sheep eternal life. They will never die. And while they are under my care, no one can take them from me. My Father is the one who gave them to me, and he is greater than all. No one can steal my sheep from his hand. The Father and I are one." Again, the Jewish leaders there picked up stones to kill Jesus. But he said to them, "The many wonderful things you have seen me do are from the Father. Which of these good things do you want to kill me for?" They answered,
"We are not killing you for any good things you did. But you say things that insult God. You're only a man. You say you're equal to God? That is why we are trying to kill you."
Jesus answered, "It is written in your law that God said,
I said you are gods."
The scripture called those people gods, the people who received God's message. And scripture is always true. So why do you accuse me of insulting God for saying, "I am God's son"? I am the one God chose and sent into the world. If I don't do what my Father does, then don't believe what I say. But if I do what my Father does, you should believe in what I do. You might not believe in me. You should believe in the things I do. Then you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. He tried again to arrest Jesus, but he escaped from them. And he went back across the Jordan River to the place where John began his work of baptizing people. Jesus stayed there, and many people came to him. They said,
"John never did any miraculous signs, but everything John said about this man is true."
And many people there believed in Jesus. Psalms chapter 63. A psalm of David, written when he was in the desert of Judah. God, you are my God. I am searching so hard to find you. Body and soul, I thirst for you in this dry and weary land without water. Yes, I have seen you in your temple. I have seen your strength and glory. Your faithful love is better than life. So my lips praise you. I will give my whole life in praise to you. I lift my hands to you in prayer. I am fully satisfied like someone who has enjoyed a rich feast. My mouth is filled with joyful praise. I remember you while lying on my bed. I think about you in the middle of the night. That is because you are the one who helps me. It makes me happy to be under your protection. I stay close to you, and you hold me with your powerful arm. Those who are trying to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to their graves. They will be killed with swords, and wild dogs will eat their dead bodies. But the king will be happy with his God, and those who make promises in God's name will rejoice when he has silenced those liars. Thank you, everyone. That was day 138. Join us for day 139. We're continuing in the book of 1 Samuel. A terrible prophecy is made about Eli's family. And then God calls Samuel to do things in Israel that will shock anyone who hears about them. Then the Israelites suffer a terrible defeat from the Philistines. And the Philistines take something extremely valuable from Israel, God's holy box. And in the book of John, we meet a dead person named Lazarus. And Jesus cries with the people over his death. But according to Jesus, Lazarus may not stay dead for very long. We hope you enjoyed today's verses. Be sure to leave us a positive review and to share this podcast with your friends and family. Please join us for the next episode as we experience the Bible in 1 year.
Did you know we offer online courses in creative writing, literature, and web design? Visit us at storymaster.online to learn more.